Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 101. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and sitting in for David Todd, my co-host on this Monday, is Alex Kozora. Alex, happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday, Dave, and a happy belated birthday to you. What are you, 25 now?
Yeah. More like Phil in the body of a 65-year-old. I actually turned 49 on Easter Sunday, so this will be my last trip through the 40s here. So, I had a nice quiet day. It's very rarely does my birthday fall on Easter. So, you know, we got away for a little bit, and that made it fun. But back at it again on this Monday. And, geez, where do we start? The Dan Rooney, funeral is taking place, I believe, today. So I assume coaching staff, really organizational-wide, that the Steelers will be tied up with that on this Monday. There has been no reports of any pre-draft visitors coming in on this Monday. I doubt there will be any. We'll see. But an interesting note that over the weekend that Brad Kaya, former Miami quarterback, was in town. Kaya, from information gathered off of his Snapchat by one of my followers, was evidently flying out of Indianapolis to Chicago, from Chicago to Pittsburgh. And once Kaya got into Pittsburgh, it appears as though he posted a few pictures of the city, downtown Pittsburgh, on his Snapchat. Kaya, to the best of my knowledge, had to go to Indianapolis for one of several players to have a medical recheck. I think that had something to do with a turf toe injury that prevented him from running at the combine. And now the question is, did the Steelers sneak Brad Kaya in the back door on Saturday?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But first of all, the technology is just crazy. Yeah, this didn't happen with Terry Bradshaw. There was no old Bradshaw Snapchatted, and we know he's coming to Pittsburgh. So, it's funny the information we're able to find out and discover these kinds of things. It would make sense, though. Obviously, there's a lot of interest in Kaya. They were at his pro day. I believe it was Colbert there. Talked to him at the combine. I've said it all along that I think the quarterbacks for Pittsburgh come down to three guys: Mahomes, Kaya, and Dobbs. You know, I'd be very surprised at this point if Mahomes drops to 30. I don't think we'll get past Houston at 25, to be honest with you. So now I'm looking at Kaya and Dobbs, and I'm not certain about much in this draft. And I'm not certain about this next thing I'm about to say, but I'm very confident the Steelers are going to take either Kaya or Dobbs with their comp pick in the third round at 105.
I concur with you. I think we've reached to that point now. It doesn't, you know, there was a lot of talk about Davis Webb, but to my knowledge, he hasn't been brought in yet. And it really doesn't look like there's been a lot of overall interest in him outside of maybe some Senior Bowl stuff. So, I think it's kind of easy to color in the numbers and connect the dots and put it at either Kaya or Dobbs. Could Dobbs be a round later guy?
I guess it's not impossible, but just knowing how shallow this quarterback class is, and again, I think teams are going to fall in love with Dobbs, first off the field, for the way he conducts himself on the whiteboard and the way he interviews. I don't feel great it's going to be there late fourth round.
Who do you like better of the two?
Probably Dobbs. I think it's more upside there, a little more athletic, maybe a little better arm. I've let Sean do the reports on the quarterback, so I really haven't taken the deep dive into either one of them. I watched part of Dobbs' QB camp with John Gruden. I saw the back half of that, and you can just see why he's impressive, the way he carries himself, the way he's able to answer questions and, draw things up on the board. You compare that with Mitch Trubisky, who I thought struggle was a couple things, you know, like a hard count. He didn't know what a hard count was. So you see about, you know, the way that guy has to go. I think a guy like Dobbs is the way he was able to balance schoolwork as an aerospace engineer and football as a quarterback are two insanely difficult things to do. So can you imagine what Dobbs can do when his life is dedicated just to football and he doesn't have 6 hours of homework each night to deal with? So, you know, my stance on a quarterback, we're not going to rehash all that, but I think I would like Dobbs a little more than Kaya.
Yeah, and I think at this, is it safe to say this isn't a dry run now?
Well, I don't know if it's any different than what I said before, that, you know, that potential's still there and that perspective is still key, that this could, you know, be part of that process because Tomlin's never had to do this before. But, you know, I said that even when I talked about the dry run, I said that, you know, it still could be the year they take a quarterback where they could just happen to find a guy they really like in this dry run part of the process. So I think everything's still open for me. But like I said, I think a quarterback with that comp pick is looking pretty good.
But back to the Kaya in Pittsburgh thing, it would not make sense to keep Kaya in town for 3 or 4 days, right? So either a pre-draft visit is going to happen today, which doesn't look like that might be the case, or it happened on Saturday. And if it happened on Saturday, who else came in that back door?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't think Kaya would still be here today. Usually it's overnight and then, you know, into the next day kind of visit. You can't take up too much time. There might be even restrictions against that. But, you know, it's interesting. I think according to our list, we have 6 spots left, not including Kaya, who's not official yet, not including a Gervonta Jones, who's not official yet. So, you know, not many spots left. And we all know how important those 30 pre-draft visitors are to steal his actual draft picks.
Yeah, probably not going to be surprising for us to come up 3 names short, right?
I don't know. We were already 24 there. We have 5 guys pending right now. Raekwon McMillan, Davis Webb, Gervonta Jones, Trevon Hester, though he's going to be a local visit, and Brad Kaya. So we might hit 30. We'll see.
Well, what I'm saying is, are we ever going to get official word that Kaya, I mean, should we assume that Kaya visited?
No, hopefully they give us actual word. You know, the Steelers are usually pretty good. Bob Labriola does a nice job of being able to tweet that stuff out. I mean, he's tweeted out every single one of the 24 we have so far. So
yeah, but what I'm getting at is, if this happened on Saturday and if Bob wasn't in the building to see it, you know, that's the angle that I'm taking here is, are there going to be 3 guys go unreported? You know, so, you know, because why would you? I could see maybe just bringing one in at a time, but one would think that maybe if Kaya came in Saturday, maybe there was another 1 or 2 guys with him. So just me and my tinfoil hat out.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we got an ask and answer from Bob, and he can clear that up for us.
Okay, moving on from that. Did we cover the guys that came in after David and I talked the other day? I'm trying to pull up the list here real quick.
Is this the Mac Hollins group of them on the 13th? Is that what you're talking about?
Was that the last group that came in?
Yeah, it was the last group. It was Hollins, Gibson, Humphrey, Lewis. I think you guys touched on it. I want to say you did.
Yeah, what do you think about Marlon Humphrey being brought in? Is he a guy that do you think could still be on the board at 30th overall? And, boy, he sure does have a lot of boxes checked now.
Yeah, it's not impossible for Humphrey to fall. You know, we've seen Bud Dupree, David Castro, you know, go lower than expected. So I don't want to say that there's no chance of it, but it's on the unlikely side right now. The same way you would talk about Dupree and DeCastro those years, or, you know, Jarvis Jones, you know, at some point Kevin Colbert had said, you know, after Jarvis ran so poorly, he immediately scheduled a pre-draft visit with him because he knew that he had a chance to drop. So Humphrey isn't in that category. By the way, Humphrey ran really, really well at the combine. But, you know, guys do drop sometimes. I like Humphrey. He might end up being my top quarterback or cornerback in this class. The dude's 20 years old, started as a redshirt freshman at 19 years old with Nick Saban in Alabama. I mean, that's tough to do. You know, he took his lumps at times. That's going to happen. But he's a great athlete. He's a good tackler. I think, you know, he's got better ball skills than people talk about. I think there's a lot of improvement in his game possible just because of how young he is. And I wouldn't be mad about that pick at all should he fall to 30.
How many corners do you think come off the board before the Steelers pick? 4? 3?
I'm thinking maybe three. You know, I haven't fleshed out the whole list, but Lattimore, Conley, Humphrey's got a good chance to, you know, someone else, a Kevin King and a Wuze, someone like that. You know, so I'm thinking maybe three corners could end up coming off the board.
All right, before we transition into more of this draft talk, one thing that we did, David and I didn't touch on the other day, Cinquez Gulson, poor kid, just things just are not going right for him. He was sounds like he was leaving Mississippi to head back in a roundabout way to Pittsburgh via a shortstop over in Atlanta. Of course, the Steelers offseason program gets underway, if I'm not mistaken, this week, today. Cinquez was going through the airport in Mobile, Alabama. He had attended, it sounds like, an event at a nightclub that he apparently has some ownership in. Had a gun and ammunition packed in a bag. Forgot that it was in there. TSA found that. Detained him briefly. No criminal charges or anything like that were filed. It sounds like the gun and the ammunition were confiscated temporarily from Cinquez until the next time he passes back through the area to pick it up. Cinquez had said in an interview that was on AL.com, in so many words, just a stupid mistake on his part. I understand how people can be frustrated. There were immediately people saying that the Steelers should cut Cinquez Gulson. I don't think there's anything malicious involved here. I think it's just a guy making a stupid decision and forgetting the gun was in his bag and going through an airport. And, I think you have to leave it at that.
Yep, that's what all I thought it was. I really didn't see much of a story here. He was detained, not arrested. They're holding on to the gun. It's weird, though. Sometimes players get arrested for this, or people get arrested for this. I know Lewis Murphy, basically like the same day, I think, got arrested for a gun going through the airport. I believe I'm reading Nigel Bradham happened to him last year. So I think rules vary state to state. So he probably got lucky about being in the state that he's in. And he's also looking for the airport he was in, because I've not been to many airports in my life, but I've been to the Mobile, Alabama airport. It is the smallest rinky-dink thing in the world, but very nice people. It's just one line for TSA. There's never anyone there. There's never any wait. It's very much better than Pittsburgh. So he picked a good airport to bring a gun to, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, no, look, I didn't read much, deep into the Murphy thing. You know, I wonder how much difference a loaded gun is versus an unloaded gun. How much that makes a difference? I'm not gonna pretend like I know, all this stuff with TSA and airline safety and all. The fact of the matter is, it sounds like Cinquez is facing a hefty TSA fine. Probably had a lot of explaining to do when he got into Pittsburgh and all like that. But I don't see this being an issue with Cinquez, and at this point I'd be surprised if he faces any discipline from the league as well too. The big thing with Cinquez is just get in that off-season program and stay healthy and compete for a roster spot this year.
Exactly, Dave. Last thing I'll say on this is, obviously Gulson kind of did a dumb thing, but you are allowed to take a gun on the plane. I don't know all the rules about carry-on versus check-in and all that, but you are allowed to have a gun on the plane if you declare it and you put it in the proper box and all that. So, don't react to the headline of Gulson brings gun on the plane or tries to as the dumbest thing in the world. It's a pretty common practice, believe it or not.
Right. So we just want to make sure we covered that. What else do we have to cover? That's Martavis Bryant.
Yep.
Tell us about Martavis Bryant.
Well, Alex Marvez from Sporting News kind of provided our first update on Bryant, who was in New York last week for a then unknown reason. We assumed it was related to his suspension and possible reinstatement. And Alex Marvez reports he met with the league's, management council, drug council, not Roger Goodell, as you know, part of this first step to trying to seek reinstatement. And basically, they set out some stipulations for him of having a relapse plan of how to avoid that, and just some extra things Bryant has to do. So bottom line is, no official visit with Goodell, which still has to happen before any final decision is made. And at this point, Dave, we're April 17th. The draft is a week from Thursday. I'm not counting on the Steelers knowing about Martavis Bryant's status before the draft.
Yeah, does that matter?
I think it puts the Steelers in a really tough spot because, if you knew beforehand Bryant was going to be back, then you could knock receiver down a little bit on the list of needs. But, now it's hard to operate under the assumption that he's going to be back. So I think it does push up that receiver concern at least a peg or two. And the Steelers have been kind of a little keeping Bryant at arm length throughout this process. So still not having an answer could really give him cold feet and make him, look at someone else. And clearly they have, because they brought in several receivers so far.
How surprised would you be if they, regardless of what happens with Bryant, whether or not we know whether or not he's going to be reinstated prior to the draft, how surprised would you be if they don't draft a receiver?
I'd be pretty surprised. I think you're at least going to see one in the late rounds, and I think the mid rounds are becoming increasingly more likely. So I'd be pretty surprised if they did not draft a receiver.
Yeah, I would too at this point. And when you look at the list of guys that have been brought in, boy, these alerts are going crazy this morning on my phone.
We got visits coming in.
The clown horn is going right and left here. To review the guys that were brought in: Kenny Golladay out of Northern Illinois, Josh Reynolds out of Texas A&M, a pre-draft visitor, Chris Godwin, a guy that I think is going to go a little bit higher than the Steelers were able to draft him at, out of Penn State. Who else have we had in? Matt Collins out of North Carolina, Shelton Gibson out of West Virginia, more late round guys or mid to late round guys there in Hollins and Gibson. And I believe that's the list. So now obviously it could be somebody not on that list, but I'm with you. I think at this point now, I will be surprised if they don't draft a quarterback. I'll be surprised if they don't draft a wide receiver. I think we know edge is on the way. I think we know a corner is on the way. Here's something that sticks out, though, when you look at this pre-draft visitor list. And I mentioned this to David Todd the other day. James Conner is the only running back they've had in for a visit. Now, obviously, there's a couple of spots remaining as far as available visits. Are you surprised we haven't seen more running backs in yet?
A little, but I still think they're going to draft one because they have to draft one, right? There's no way the Steelers can get through this draft without a running back. Am I wrong?
Well, one would think that they're going to draft a running back, but they did sign Nile Davis. Kind of a cryptic tweet from D'Angelo Williams, about 4 or 5 days ago. I will be surprised if they don't draft one. Now, with that said, I mean, look, they showed up quite a few of those mid-round guys we keep reviewing almost every podcast. Samaje, with Oklahoma, Marlon out of South Florida. Oh, Clemson and Wayne Gallman. Jeez, who else am I missing?
I think that's a lot of them. I mean, Connor, obviously, I think there's a good chance they draft James Connor. I think he might be on their radar. Again, just because they're not brought in for a pre-draft basis doesn't mean there's not interest. They're still going to take three or four guys or something that aren't on the pre-draft visitor list. So it's important, but it's not gospel.
Right. And, you can't bring in everybody that you draft. And David and I went over to a big list. I would expect 3 to 4 guys on this list to be drafted, though, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we've gone through that list. Typically, there are anywhere from 2 to 4, but obviously that means 4 or so won't be on that list. So they've had interest in a lot of these guys. And like you said, they've been at a lot of pro days and had a lot of eyes on these players. So there's just no way they can go through the draft without a running back. I mean, D'Angelo Williams is not your answer. Nile Davis is not your answer. It's your number two. There's no other option. Maybe they just think running back's easier to evaluate. They know some of these guys better. Who knows? But I expect them to draft one again, somewhere in that 3rd to 5th round.
All right, where do you come in now at probably a perfect – well, let me get an ad out of here talking about our buddy Craig Oxane real quick. Hey, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steelers fan and Pittsburgh native, Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. I guess a perfect time to kind of segue. The Steelers have had in, you know, a few safety, a few kind of hybrid safeties at that. And you wrote a very thorough article for this morning on SteelersDepot.com of why a hybrid safety could transform the Steelers defense. Why don't you kind of recap that for us?
Sure. I mean, it's something I've talked about for a while now, but I wanted to finally get the article out there to kind of flesh out and write down all my thoughts. And it's not just that they brought in hybrid guys, because, you know, it's hard to say who's a hybrid guy. You know, it's not like they're bringing in Jabril Peppers. But they just brought in some bigger, strong safety, or at least just bigger types of Josh Jones. You know, Mellon Fonwu could probably play either.
How about using the word uber athletic? Is that fine?
Yeah, that exactly. Mellon Fonwu tested, obviously, basically like the 99th percentile. Josh Jones tested really well. Buda Baker's a strong athlete who's smaller. He's like 195, but he's a big hitter, too, that has a lot of range. And so, you know, the thought is if they draft a safety, that guy's not going to crack the starting lineup year one. It's not going to take Mitchell's spot. It's not going to take Sean Davis's spot. So where's this guy going to fit? Because if you're a first or second round pick, we're living in the age of football right now where those guys got to play right away. And the Steelers were basically the last team to get on board with, you know, playing rookies immediately. But after LeBeau was gone and Butler came in and simplified the scheme, it allowed those guys to get on the field right away. So where does that guy fit? And the obvious explanation is going to be as a hybrid player. And I've talked about it before. The Steelers have tried to use a dime defense at the end of 2015. For the early portions of 2016 and into the midseason, kind of ended with the Patriots game because it was so ineffective because Robert Golden just wasn't that guy. They didn't have the personnel for it. So that, you know, I think that would be the role of that player initially, that would allow the Steelers to play more man coverage, that when they want to play cover two, that hybrid guy could be that deep hole defender. And if he's a super strong athlete like a Mellon Fonwu, he can cover a lot of ground, which is what that deep hole defender is going to be asked to do. So, you know, Tallman's talked about getting better in man coverage, you know, and I think Artie Burns can do that. I think Ross Cockrell can do that. But can your slot guy, can your dime guy do that? And that's what the Steelers kind of need right now. So that makes the most sense for me. I think it would be huge for this defense to have these answers to teams that want to go five wide, spread you out horizontally, for teams that have matchup problems at tight end. It's not even just the Gronkowskis of the world. It's Tyler Eifert, who you're dealing with twice a year. It's this tight end class that's so ridiculous and kind of sums up the way the position is going. It's the Travis Kelce's of the world you've been dealing with. You know, obviously, so the Patriots threat are going to be there trying to find ways to match up against them. We saw Golden against Gronkowski, and as tough as Gronk is to cover, you know, you want to try to give yourself the best possible option, and Golden is not that guy. So I'd be really excited about it. You know, I've talked about for a while now that need. You know, this could be your guy on third down late in the game with your team having the lead, 2-minute drill. And this is a perfect time to do it because, you know, Vince Williams is going to be maybe the starter, but he's not that three down guy. You're in that little bit of a transition phase, losing Timmons. We're letting him go to Miami. So there's no better time than right now to find that answer and that hybrid guy.
And I concur. It would not hurt my feelings at all if it were an, you know, first, second, you know, round type guy to fit that need. I think though, if you're going to do it, it would probably first round would would, I don't know. You don't know how some of these guys. You would think a guy like Melifonwu wouldn't last until the second round, but stranger things, of course, have happened. Rank for me the guys that have been closely associated with Pittsburgh through this process that would fit that kind of role. I'm obviously talking about Melifonwu. Obviously talking about Buda Baker, Josh Jones out of North Carolina State, and even though he hasn't visited yet. We can't escape the Steelers love Jabril Peppers headlines lately.
Those are the four, Dave. You nailed it. Those are the four guys you want to look at, you know, day one, day two. And basically, those are all going to be first round or bust guys because I don't think any of those four are going to circle back around to 62 for Pittsburgh. And sure, you know, Peppers has been the hot name for Pittsburgh right now. You basically look at any mock draft and everyone has Jabril Peppers. So either there's some super big groupthink going on here, which is certainly possible, or the national media guys are really hearing, you know, what Aditi reported about Colbert being smitten with Peppers, and you can't discount him at 30. Now, Peppers, the problem with Peppers is he's a little smaller. He's only 5'11". He's under 6 foot, you know, and that's going to be an issue against some of these tight ends. So, you know, Buda Baker could be more of a slot corner, even though he's a smaller guy. I could see him better against an Edelman of the world than an Eifert of the world, whereas Josh Jones and Melifonwu are going to be worse against those slot guys, are going to be better against the Y type. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the name if they take one of those guys, because, you know, I think there's a difference between Baker and Peppers and Jones and Melifonwu.
Yeah, rank those guys for me, and Melifonwu will have to be at the top of the list, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to be at the top of the list, and, you know, I think there's only a slim chance he falls. You know, I think that maybe he won't get past Dallas at 28. But Josh Jones is similar. You know, he's gotten comparisons to Mike Mitchell because he's a great hitter, but he's been able to cover wide before. He did it against Clemson, against Jordan Leggett, so he has that kind of, you know, stuff on tape. Again, I think Baker and Peppers are you know, well, Peppers is not going to be a slot guy, but Peppers, you know, I'm lower on him because he is smaller than Jones or Melifonwu. He's a great athlete. He's a good tackler. No issues there. But he's not that playmaker that Jones and Melifonwu can be and have proven to be in college. And Buda Baker might not be the best fit as that hybrid guy because he is, you know, a slighter frame player, but a great athlete, a lot of range, and a big hitter that throws his weight in every play. So, you know, if they want to go with a slot option at corner, you know, which I've said is still a concern with this team, then you could look at Buda Baker. So, you know, all those guys make sense. All those guys could, you know, be an answer on your defense. But I think in terms of the hybrid safeties, truly Jones, Melifonwu, Peppers would be the top of the list.
The thing with Peppers, though, boy, very versatile, very athletic, but where was the playmaking? And how long is it going to take? You know, he played, you know, I guess you go back to Sean Davis. He moved around so much, and then, you know, they were able to finally find a home for him, you know, quickly as a safety after the experimentation of slot play. Does it come down more to projection? Because let's face it, I mean, he went from DB to linebacker, and there's just not a lot of playmaking on tape from Jabril Peppers.
Right, that's the issue I have with him. It's not about where does he fit. I get where he fits. It's not about athlete. He's a great athlete. It's not about off the field. He seems great off the field. It's just the lack of playmaking. What I think one or no pass deflections his senior year, one career interception. I don't think he's really forced any fumbles. I mean, he played in a really strong Michigan defense that had a ton of talent up front with Chris Wormley and Taco Charlton, guys like that. We've talked about Ben Gideon, an inside linebacker. I think, maybe the best defensive coordinator in college football in Don Brown, who's as exotic and as creative and, you know, scheme sound as any defensive coordinator in college football. And yet he still didn't produce a ton of big plays. And, you know, the worry is if you didn't do it in college, what makes you think you're going to do it in the NFL at its highest level? I mean, it's not impossible. Maybe you get a different position, but it's hard for me to think a guy with one career interception is going to have a 50 interception, you know, NFL career, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you go back to a couple of drafts ago, too, when Kevin Colbert was out back there talking about all the plays that the guys had made that year in college and why that was attractive, talking about the Golsons and the that was a Gerard Holloman draft. There's still no reason why Gerard Holloman should have been drafted by the Steelers even in the seventh round. I don't want to go back to beating that horse again, but you know, where if you're going to 1 year talk about the production, it would make sense for that to carry over, right?
Yeah, no, I think you've seen an emphasis on production and athleticism, and Pepper certainly checks the latter, the athlete part, but does he check the production part as well as a Josh Jones or a Melvin Fonda or a Buda Baker? I don't think so. So that's my concern with him. But yeah, there's no question the Steelers are looking for hyper athletes on defense. You look at Ryan Shazier, Artie Burns, Sean Davis, even Travis Feeney. You know, it's very easy to see the type of players this defense is gravitating towards because they want to simplify the scheme, put great athletes on the field, let them use their raw talent to their advantage, and go ahead and make plays and cover a lot of the field.
Here we are now, roughly, 10, 11 days before the draft gets underway here. You've obviously had a chance, and I've had a chance to go through a lot of the edge rushers, a lot of these top defensive backs. What way are you leaning with the first round pick being positional wise? Do you think it's going to be a defensive back? Now that opens you up to a safety, corner, or do you think it's going to be an edge rusher?
I really don't have a lean, Dave. I try to think about it, but there's no compelling reason for me to think one over the other. And maybe you have a different idea. I'm trying to come up with just names right now, and I think if they go edge, I think it's T.J. Watt. If they go corner, I think Trey White's in the mix. If Humphrey were to fall, then you could put him in the mix. Tankersley, I still think, you can't forget about him, but no one's really talking about Tankersley. So I think Trey White is squarely in the mix for Pittsburgh. I think all these safety guys, I think Melvin Fonwu's in the mix. I think he might be the pick if he falls, but I'm not confident about that. You can't ignore Jabril Peppers. You just can't do that. And I don't completely discount a Josh Jones from NC State. You know, we've seen some of these safeties come up as late risers in the process. You look at a Keanu Neal last year, Carl Joseph, guys that I believe both went top 20 that probably this time a year ago we didn't think we're going to be there or be top 20 type of guys. So I don't forget about Josh Jones. I don't forget about a Marcus May from Florida, who I think is a similar guy to that in terms of a guy that could be a hybrid player, year one, who played a lot of free safety in college, but I think might be a better strong safety going forward, a little closer to the line of scrimmage. I think I'm trying to come up with some good safety names there for Pittsburgh.
Takaris McKinley, he's a guy that we still have to consider, right?
Yeah, sure. I think McKinley could still be in the mix. It's a guy that we don't talk about very often on this podcast, but we do want to recognize has been brought in for a visit. There is obviously interest there. I still think Watt would be the pick over McKinley, but, Watt may not be there. I think McKinley has a very good chance to be at 30. Watt's kind of maybe 50-50 at this point. But I think Watt fits the Steelers the best at edge. It's a question of if he'll be there.
Rivers, a guy that we just think not going to go in the first round now?
I think it's a first-round talent, but it does not sound like he's going to go in the first round, and I'm confused about that. I don't know why he's not going to go in the first round or be that top 35 kind of pick, but I don't think he's in play in the first round for Pittsburgh.
Same with Lawson?
I mean, that's what it sounds like. A lot of people think Lawson's going to go somewhere in the second round. Maybe Lawson circles back at 62. I mean, could you imagine if you got, a Melvin Fonda in the first and a Lawson in the second, something like that, that'd be a home run.
What if you went Melvin Fonda and then Rivers? What if Rivers?
Or that, yeah. I mean, either of those guys, I'd be ecstatic.
I think that Trey White's just a guy that I can't get out of my head. He's not a spark demon, but neither was Artie Burns, right? I mean, they have very comparable numbers. When you look at the Underwear Olympics and stuff like that, I think it comes down to what these guys. The thing about Trey White is he impeccable character, man. I mean, if you want a guy, if you were drafting on character alone, he might be it. And I've researched more into Marlon Humphrey as well too. There's part of me now that thinks Humphrey might could be the guy.
If he falls, it'd be hard to ignore Humphrey. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, really. I mean, okay. Let's say if Humphrey or Trey White were both on the board, come 30th overall, who are you running up the card on?
Probably Humphrey, but here's the issue. Well, here's the issue is that Humphrey might be a bit of a developmental guy. He's going to be an outside guy, so there probably isn't a home for him year one. And I have talked about needing guys that can play right away and get on the field right away. White, I guess, he's a plug and play starter in the slot year one. I don't think that's impossible. So that's kind of the debate you have to have is, you know, win now versus win later and positional value. So that's a tough one for me. I think Humphrey's the better talent, and I like him. He's going to be, like, graded higher for me, but he might take a little more time to develop than White. So I'm kind of dance around your question a little bit and leave it up to, you know, what people want.
Well, here's the thing. Both those kids, both White and Humphrey, can make instant impacts on special teams, so you get something there. White, probably the most NFL-ready for a slot position. Marlon Humphrey, probably a better ceiling as an outside corner, right?
Yeah. No, Humphrey has the higher ceiling overall because he's 20 years old, but he's not. He's only played 2 years of football, and he's got a lot of work to do. White was an 18-year-old freshman starting in the SEC, so it's a big difference.
Right. You would not be surprised if it was either of those guys at 30th overall. Then, if one fell, right?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. And again, it's tough for me to come up with a position just because what information can I have to find a position? You know, there's not any information out there. Kevin Colbert's not telling me what position. And then the Steelers usually aren't going to go with the approach of we're taking this position. So it's really hard for me to come up with that. So I lean towards, well, what players could be in the mix? Who fits best from all the studies and data that we do? And the couple positions that, of course, are going to be needs, you know, to try to come up with a list of maybe by draft day, six names that really makes the most amount of sense for Pittsburgh.
And I think maybe at this point now, we always try to do these things. That's why we post all these studies and our mock drafts are generated around what we think the Steelers will do based on what they have done in the past. Very rarely do we go with the angle, this is what I would do. So with that said, guys that you think would be on the board, possibly, what way would you go in the first round?
I mean, you know, I would still go with a Carl Lawson or Derek Rivers. I wouldn't be mad with either of those guys. If I had to go in the secondary, Trey White would definitely be right up there on my list. So I'll go with Carl Lawson or Trey White, depending on if you want an edge or a DB.
I watch a Melifonwu. I might go Melifonwu or Rivers. You know, poor Derek Rivers is going to suffer, I think, because he went to Youngstown State. I don't think there's any way around that. I like Lawson. I've liked Lawson the whole time. I just think he's a second round guy. When you talk about TJ Watt, just not enough there for me right now. Uber athletic guy. I think he showed up on who's the guy that does the force players?
Pat Kerwin?
No. What's his name?
The Justice.
Yes. Yeah. Justice. Here is Justice. Top edge or top force players this year in an article I think he just recently wrote. Miles Garrett, Solomon Thomas, which, you know, I don't really consider Thomas as a true edge, but I get why he's on the list. Tyus Bowser is his third one, and, you know, a lot of the concerns we've already went over about Tyus Bowser. Just a guy, here's what Justice wrote about him. It might be one of the more interesting projections in this year's draft class because he never really played as a pass rusher at Houston. He had great production on a per-game basis in his limited 2016 season, but he was mostly used as an overhang defender. So, you know, a lot of projection, I think, goes on with Tyus Bowser. Still uber athletic. That's why he made it as a force player. TJ Watt is another guy that's a force player because of his measurables. And I kind of side with Justice here. He says, I'm not a big fan of TJ Watt's game. He says he understands his brother, JJ Watt, and he makes a lot of effort sacks, but he still believes that as a pass rusher, his teammate Vince Beagle is more talented.
Oh, wow.
He goes on to say that Watt's best future, in his opinion, would be as a 4-3 outside linebacker, someone who can drop down the line of scrimmage in a two-point stance or line up at a defensive end in nickel situations. Another good fit would be man-heavy, man-blitz-heavy defense like the Jets or the Cardinals run, where he can flash in limited reps as a rush or drop linebacker. He goes on to write, the element of surprise is where Watt is going to win at the next level. level. He just lines up and rushes every down. Players are going to key on his athletic timing and make him win with effort, a losing plan in the NFL. I like Watt, but once again, I like Watt more. I still think Rivers, Watt, Lawson, I think two of those three, Alex, just me from what I've seen, I think two of those three fall to the Steelers in the second round. And you know, I guess I wouldn't be overly surprised if all three did. We'll see. A guy that you want to talk about really not getting it and why the Steelers maybe haven't shown more interest in him is Jordan Willis, a guy that we keep coming back to. Now, he is a force player, the next one underneath T.J. Watt. But I think you would agree that there's times where the tape with Jordan Willis doesn't match the measurables.
Sure, we've talked about that before. It really comes down to his bend, and he had, I think, a 6.85 3 cone, and that really shocked a lot of people, myself included. I like Jordan Willis, though. I mean, the guy's just one at every level. I've talked about him before. He's got great hand use. He's a really advanced, nuanced pass rusher with a really good football IQ that just wins at every level he's been at, and it's hard to ignore that.
Good character guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then after Willis, Justice has Derek Rivers, and he has him as a mid-tier, second to third round grade on him. He says, his bench numbers align with his impact as a run defender, again playing with his hands above his eyes. As a pass rusher, he can play either defensive end or outside linebacker at the next level. When he went head to head against FBS talent over the last three great years of production, he didn't get slowed down. When he was at the Senior Bowl, most consistent pass rusher in one-on-one drills in Mobile, and had a great game. He passed about every eye test that you could imagine an FCS prospect going through, but he's still going to be drafted at a discount rate because of where he played college football.
I mean, that's basically it. You know, that's the only serious knock you can put on him, but that's why the Senior Bowl was so important, and similar to Javon Hargrave, where you saw him go up against Power 5 conferences and the big boys, and he performed not just pretty good, but again, like Justice said, maybe one of the best, you know, pass rushing edge guys at Mobile. So that really kind of helped ease that concern, and that's why I think he's a first-round talent, even if he won't go in the first round in reality.
Outside of him not being playing at a Power 5 conference school, he's got all the boxes checked, right? Be a first-round guy. Lawson, sure. Outside of the measurable things we put together, the short arms, Lawson checks a lot of boxes, except he's just not – if only that three cone had been better, huh?
Yeah, maybe a little bit better would have been nice, or running it as pro day. But I think Watt's still the favorite because he is that great athlete, because he's been brought in for a visit? I can't remember.
I don't think Watt has, right?
No. Okay, I don't think he has either. But that's not a requirement for a first-round pick. It hasn't happened in the last 2 years, but they met with him at his pro day. He tested very well in our study we did. One of the two guys that checked every single box, Jordan Willis the other. So a lot of upside there.
Why is there no longer talk about Charles Harris, Taco Charlton, those guys?
Yeah, that's a good point. I just don't know if Harris is going to really fall. I don't think he will. I'd still be surprised if Charlton did as well. And I just don't see Charlton as a fit as a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's too tall. He's not going to be able to drop into coverage. And you're going to have to do that anywhere from 22% to 30% of the time in Pittsburgh, and I just don't think Charlton's going to be up to the task.
Would you entertain Tim Williams in the second round?
I mean, the off the field is such depressing concern with him. Without ever getting to talk to the guy personally, it's impossible for me to answer. I would entertain it, though, because I think that you lose a little bit of risk, and you have that upside there. It would depend on who else would fall. That would take Lawson, Rivers over him, without a doubt. So, but I could see the Steelers doing that at 62, because again, a lot of interest in him, bringing him in for visits at his pro day. They clearly like the on-field talent, and they want to explore the off-the-field so they can justify the on-the-field talent, basically. So, there's a great case to be made, and I made this case a couple weeks ago, that if you take a non-edge guy in the first round, a corner, or safety, whatever, you could still get that edge guy in the second, and you could have two guys that could start right away. So let's say you take a Trey White in the first, and let's say whoever falls in the second. Those are now two guys that are going to be able to play day one and help your team. If you reverse that, your edge guy in the first will be able to play right away, but depending on who you get in the second, might not be as ready as a Trey White. So now only one guy might see the field right away.
You know, if we knew for sure if Kevin Colbert was, at the UConn Pro Day, it would make it probably, it'd give us a little reason of maybe to push harder for the possibility of Melon Fonru being the pick. But, there's just not enough there outside of his measurables. I mean, the tape speaks loud, but, is there any other reason to think why he could be the guy?
Well, he was brought in for a visit, right? That's official now. So, I mean, there's obviously interest there. To be fair, Colbert and Tomlin typically go to the big name pro days that have a bunch of talent, and UConn only had Melon Fonwu. So, maybe that's considered a waste in Colbert's mind to go see one guy where you bring him in for a visit, and that's that. I think there's a possibility he could fall. Of course, you can never say it's not going to happen, but from what I'm hearing, from what I've read, he's not going to get to Pittsburgh at 30.
I think that the pick's going, right now, I am leaning more towards the Steelers taking a DB in the first round and an edge rusher in the second round because mm-hmm. I really think one of those guys are going to be. I'm hoping it's Derek Rivers, to be honest with you.
In the second?
Yeah, I'm hoping Derek Rivers falls down there. I think the more I watched, watched of the two and the comparative to what else is out there, I like Derek Rivers a little bit more than I do Carl Lawson. Now, I'd be happy with Lawson. I mean, heck, I had him in the first round of my first mock, and it looks like we're having looks like we're going to have some pre-draft visitors today after all, Alex. Today's draft visitor, Trayvon Hester from Toledo. Tell us a little bit about Trayvon.
He's one of your prototypical nose tackles. He's going to be a local visit. I forget which high school he went to, but he is a local product, I believe. So he should not count against the 30. They're not saying that. Labriola and Fittipaldi tweeted it out, but he should be a local guy who is a big nose tackle. Tony Pauline from Draft Analyst really likes him, compares him to Athaya Rubin. Pretty productive career, all 4 years with the Rockets. I forget his stats off the top of my head, but, good production all around. He's, again, that prototypical nose tackle. And, looking at a day three pick, probably sixth, seventh round at best for him, and continuing, to push the idea of pushing Daniel McCullers, maybe getting him off this roster because I think that experiment is done.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and it's good to see them entertain a big guy like that. Looks like Trayvon's going to be the only pre-draft visitor that's listed, so no Brad Kaya listed. So what does that mean, Alex?
That's interesting. I wonder if someone had his Snapchat and could see what he was doing after Pittsburgh. I mean, because usually those guys are tweeting pictures of them seeing the Lombardis or something. So you think. I don't know. You think he has to be talking to Pittsburgh? He's not going to see the tunnels and the bridges,
I mean, why else would he go from Indianapolis to Chicago to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe we can get some sort of clarification on that real quick. Trayvon Hester went to Penn Hills in Pittsburgh. So again, like Monte Nicholson, should not count against the Steelers 30. So still right now, known 24 visitors, 6 left for Pittsburgh.
I think there's a decent chance Marlon Humphrey might still be on the board when the Steelers pick. I can't get away from Trey White, though. I mean, other than the fact that he's not lighting up the spark, the spark numbers. I mean, it's still over 100. It was still very comparable to Artie Burns. I have a feeling it's going to be Humphrey or White, Alex.
You don't think safeties? You think it's more likely than a safety?
I think they like these safeties as round two or round three. I think they're high. I think they really like Josh Jones.
But he's not. I don't think he's going to be there at 62. I really don't.
I think he will be.
I know I said about positions, and I don't really have a great feel, but my gut says they're going to look at a safety in the first round more than corner, and bring in draft Josh Jones or Marcus May or. Someone like that, a triple peppers, of course.
What's a pot? I mean, so zero chance Josh Jones is on the board in third round.
Yes. Third round. Yes.
Boy, what would if they went corner? Nah, they can't. There's no way that this team will come out of the first two selections without an edge rusher, right?
I put the odds very, very low. I had that once in one of my mocks, but that's kind of the crazy side of things.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people think Derek Rivers, third round guy, and I think who was it? ESPN McShay, I think, had both Lawson and Rivers as third round guys. I think one of those guys. I think that's where the edge is going to come this year. I just think Tekarris McKinley will be off the board by the second round, by the time they pick. I think you and I, talking about the quarterback with one of those compensatory picks. I think that sounds right. Where does a running back fit in at?
Yeah, again, between third and fifth, Dave, I think I might write about this soon for the site, but they're not going to trade down out of the first round. I'm not going to even attempt to make that argument. It's stupid to try to do so, but it's going to be a great year to trade down from the second round and get another pick or two, because absolutely this team has a lot of positions it needs to address, and they just don't have quite the ammunition that they need, and probably what they expected. I go back to Kevin Colbert saying he kind of expected more than one compensatory pick. I think it's a year to trade down from the second round and move down 10 or so spots.
Wow. And what if you don't have an edge by the time that happens?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to depend on maybe the board and how you feel things are going to go, but I don't know if 10 spots are going to make or break you. And if you feel like you can get a Lawson or a Rivers in the third, I mean, that's how some people, like you said, McShay, are projecting them, then, why not be able to move down? If both guys are there, let's say, if you're getting close to your pick and both guys are there at 62, I mean, if you trade down 10 spots, you have pretty good odds of being able to grab one of those guys, 10 picks later. I mean, because you look at all the positions to address. I mean, quarterback they want, the running back, and receivers becoming more likely. Tight end still on the table. Inside linebacker, corner, edge, they want a safety. I mean, you just don't have the picks to do that. We talk about all these needs and where guys are going to go and positions, but the math doesn't add up. And Colbert said, we thought we were going to get multiple compensatory picks, and obviously getting the third rounder was a surprise and a very good one at that, but kind of seemed a little disappointed in it. And they've traded it out of the second round before. They did that a couple years ago, I think, with the Denver Broncos. So, not a lot. Don't trade out too much, but 10 spots, to pick up another pick, I think would be valuable.
True or false, Javancy Jones will be drafted by the Steelers.
Well, I want him to come in for a visit for the Steelers. I've heard like three different times he was going to visit the Steelers, including today. I almost reported that, but I didn't because I didn't trust it. And he apparently didn't come in today. So I'm going to say false because I don't know what's going on there.
I'm going to say true. I'm going to say they get that done somehow. Who knows? Maybe he was holding hands with Brad Kaya, taking a tour the other day on Saturday.
Maybe.
I guess where I'm going is it's easy to connect the dots to the Steelers to Javancy Jones as a, let's say, a six round guy, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah, you could, throw darts there, Javancy Jones. One guy I like later round, who hasn't been brought in for a visit, but they're not all going to be, is Tayshaun Bauer from LSU. He's not going to be ever a starting pass rusher or like a even the 7 sack kind of guy, but I like him a lot. He's moved around a lot at LSU. I like him in coverage. I think he's got a pretty quick transition to the NFL. I could see him as a seventh round pick for Pittsburgh instead of a Javancy Jones.
Surprised that the only two tight ends brought in so far have been Scott Orndorff. Really doesn't count. Why wouldn't you bring him in? It doesn't cost you anything, being to see how he's a local product. And really a guy that probably going to go undrafted in Jason Kroom.
Again, I guess there's only so many spots there. You want to, usually the Steelers like to hone in on a position or two with their pre-draft visits, and Crooms almost felt like a receiver more than a tight end to me. But yeah, I mean, you and I have both kind of felt tight end's going to be end up being lower on the list. I think you had him in the fifth round in your last mock, and my last mock I had a tight end in the sixth round, so not a high priority for Pittsburgh. I mean, you got all priorities elsewhere. You got to start choosing, we got enough at tight end. We need to focus on other positions.
Well, look, it'd be a, I guess, I mean, you got to consider the possibility that they might not draft one at all, right?
Sure. If you're talking fifth, sixth round for a tight end, it's possible that no one gets drafted at all. Sure.
Even though they paid attention, it looks like, to quite a few out, you know, and about during these pro days or whatnot. I mean, no, look, it would be a huge, if they didn't draft one, it would be a huge vote of confidence for a guy like Ladarius Green, right?
Yeah, it certainly would. And Jesse James as well. The confidence in James that if Green can't go for the start of the year or whenever, that he can, James can continue to be that guy.
Right. Okay, anything else we need to address here before we start wrapping this one up?
Let me ask you, Dave, just to circle back to the conversation we had at the top. Will the Steelers know Martavis Bryant's status before draft day?
I'm gonna say yes.
I'm gonna say no.
We'll see. We'll see here pretty soon. Hopefully, he can get all the rest of this stuff and get back up to New York here fairly quick, and find out. And that's just, you know, I have no, obviously no inside info on that. Just a gut feeling is all I'm going on here. And before we get out of here, Steeler fans, the mortgage process sometimes can be more challenging than spelling Zach Mettenberger. Well, maybe that ain't too terribly hard. I like how people refer to him as the other burger. I thought that was cute. Let Craig Oxane guide you through the sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams. Even in Tennessee, if you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor, Craig Oxane, a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can, of course, email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. We're going to see. We might have, I'm trying to effort Dave T to see about maybe a special Wednesday podcast this week. If not, David or Alex will be back with me on Friday. We're getting closer to this draft. You could probably expect our final mock drafts or our next to last final mock drafts to be out here, you know, sometime this week. We're continuing to pump up these player profiles up on the site as well too. A lot of good stuff, you know, from now until the draft and even after the draft takes place as well. And to keep up with everything, please follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow my co-host David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow Alex Kozora at Alex_Kozora. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com. Find that donate button upper right navigational bar. And with that, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.